Let's turn to the Bible, Proverbs 6. We are going through this morning verse 1 to 19. Let's bow our head and go before God and just ask Him to pour out His Holy Spirit over us and to have, open our eyes to take in the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. Thank you for the beautiful day ahead. God, that we just, come before you this morning and ask that you speak to us through your word, God. May your word engrave in our heart, God. May those who have ears will hear and those of the eyes will see and really take in and go deeper in your word, God. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me read out, quickly, verse 1 to 19, chapter 6. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been sneered with the word of your mouth, have been caught with the word of your mouth, do this then, son, deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hands of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hands of the fowler. Go to the ends, O slugger. Observe her ways and be wise, which has no chief, or officers, or rulers. Prepare her food in the summer, and gather her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O slugger? When will you arise from your sleep? As little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, your poverty will come like a vagabond, and your needs like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with the perversity in his heart continue to devise evil, who spreads a strife. Therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly, he will be broken, and there will be no healing. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers. So, continue this journey on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6, this morning I'm going to take you to 1 to 19. These sessions, we can actually, this whole chunk, we can quickly, get into, read it into 3 different parts. And immediately, I don't know what your first impressions when you come to just, just now looking at the passage. Immediately, I think 2 things quickly jump to mind. One is like talking about a lot about our body part. You talk about eyes, you talk about our lips, hand, feet, and talk about heart. Basically, these 5 body parts. And it is from the top, from the top of the head to the toe, almost, like to that sense. And it talk about, so I want to highlight this to you throughout, this particular passage. You use the body part. It will correlate with, how we live out our life. And also the other thing that, here that we see the author actually use the animal or the nature to remind us that, God's wisdom doesn't just go from, the Bible or from your generation fathers coming down. The wisdom come with the God's creations. And look at ants, you look at the bird, you look at the gazelle. You look at how they survive but how they live in the world that God created. And from how they live, we actually can draw wisdom from God. So it's talking about the wisdom from God is not just, what we see as language, knowledge, but also God is placing the animal kingdom or the nature around us to actually to teach us on things as well. And so these are the 2 things that, I want to highlight this morning before we go further into the passage. And so to, you know, divided this, you know, longer passage into three main sessions to so that we look into it, you know, more detailedly. The first part that we can actually, you know, segregate is verse 1 to 5. Basically, it talks about surety. Surety is like guarantee, like someone that guarantee someone's loans. So A borrow money from B, but, you know, obviously B does not have enough, you know, asset or property or credibility to secure a loan. And so they need someone to come in as a guarantor, a surety. And so basically what happened is that, you know, give the debtor for, you know, short of repayment, immediately the creditors can chase after the guarantor. And here it's the passage does not just, you know, here say that, no, don't be a guarantor. It isn't, doesn't say that. But it's talk about when you become a guarantor to a stranger. And quickly, you know, oh, stranger, of course we don't give it to, you know, as a guarantor to a stranger. But here it is, you know, we read the passage in a, as a whole, it talk about neighbors. So it talk about that you're giving a guarantor that you know a person, as a neighbor, as a third person, not that well. And so here is cautious that if you're going to be a guarantor, don't be a guarantor for someone that you don't know that well. And if so happened that you become a guarantor, become a surety for your neighbor that you have pledged for a stranger, then the advice is that, you know, you have to get out. Or the immediate advice is that you have to be vigilant, so much alert. The first step advice is like, deliver yourself, verse 3, like, do this then, my son, deliver yourself, since you have come into the hands of your neighbor. It basically is like, you know, your life, your saving and everything that, you know, is if the person that you guarantee had defaulted, then, you know, all your property and everything would go into, you know, the debt. And so here's like, you know, try to get out of it. But if you cannot get out of it, watch out. And so how much, you know, effort that you need to watch out here, it says that give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like the gazelle from the hunter's hand and like the bird from the hands of the fowler. Gazelle is like a little deer that is mountain deer that, you know, jump, you know, if you see, you know, some of the National Geographic talk, or you quite often hear about deer jumping from the mountain. And these are the ones that very light, very quick, go really quickly. But if you, you know, if they are scared, they are very fast to escape. And so here the author draw this image, you know, look at how they, you know, if they are being trapped or at the hunter's hand, that is asking that, you know, get out of it quickly, because it will cause to lead to your own folly. And basically this, you know, this part is talk about is self-inflicted, you know, situation that you got into because of your carelessness. And so the advice here is that, you know, don't be a guarantor to someone that you don't really know that well. And here is talk about neighbors. And, you know, I was a lawyer before, right? And so, you know, we study law, and one of the subjects is commercial law. We do a lot of case law, and I remember, you know, that whole heaps of, you know, law cases that talk about, you know, being a guarantor. And some of the cases is like old ladies who cannot read, who cannot, you know, illiterate. And so they, obviously, you know, the debtor, you know, defaulted on the loan, and so the bank or, you know, the institutions, financial institution, have to, you know, go seek after them. And you have cases like, you know, old lady or man, and they lost all the saving. And I was, you know, last night I was like, oh, so to give you guys some statistic, you know, I went online and look for it. It's difficult to find information, but I found a statistic on 2011 report from the government, from the Australian government. It talked about that that is in the year of 2011, 405 people who actually went bankrupt simply because they are guarantor to someone else's loans. And so it is, you know, it is not something that, you know, it is out of ordinary. It actually happened, and people are falling into the trap of that. And a lot of cases, you know, you have people, especially, you know, just sign or as a guarantor. And here, the passage this morning reminded us, like, don't take it so lightly. When you be a guarantor, be careful. You know, some of the advice, like, you know, if someone asks you to be a guarantor, you know, look at the paper. A lot of time that, you know, because of all these cases, you know, just now I'm mentioning, like, old ladies who cannot read. And so when they go to court and say, well, I never read the document and I can't understand the document. So, you know, after all these years, and as a lawyer, now, you know, bank and all this, they will put in safety measure. They will make sure that you sign a document and we say that you read all the details, even though it, like, it's so fine print, but you sign your name away. And they also, you know, require you to, usually you will see in a document, it's like you have sought independent legal advice. Basically, you sign this day when you sign guarantee, you cannot get out. You know, if you are, you know, ordinary educated, you can read, and there's no way they can get out because, like, all these safety measures have been in place. And so, you know, it is an age-old advice from the generations and from God that, you know, be aware that, you know, when you become a guarantor to someone that you do not know that well, try to get out as soon as possible, and also, you know, have to be vigilant. And one thing that, you know, here also it talk about a bit of advice here is say that go humble yourself and importunate your neighbors. Basically, it's like admit your ignorance. If you have signed away your life as a guarantor, go and humble yourself and ask and plead your neighbor. Importunate means asking and begging and just getting yourself out of the situations. And so this is the, you know, the first advice that, you know, Proverbs 6 is telling us, that in case of, you know, you be a guarantor, this is what you do. And the second sections, again, you know, these three, you know, this whole passage from 1 to 19, we break into three different small piece advice, three different advice. And the second one is talking about it says slugger. So it basically talk about your laziness. And here it talk about that, you know, when we suggest that, you know, if you don't work hard, the poverty will come onto you. Here it say like a vagabond, and the poverty is personified as something that, you know, like a person that will come and take away and steal away all your wealth, and your need will be like an armed man. It's like come suddenly and with such a force that you cannot face. And here, basically, it's not talking about poverty because of, you know, of the sin or the corruptions or, you know, a sudden Trump disaster happens, strike. It talk about that, you know, there is ability of God who given man to earn their living. And if that is not being put to use, then there is a consequence coming to attach to it. So this particular part is related to the wealth and also how hardworking you are as a lazy person who doesn't do. And here the author use a very, you know, use ant as an example. You guys probably heard, you know, I don't know, as a kid's story, talk about ants and the grasshopper, the fable. Basically, the fable is talk about that, you know, this little grasshopper singing, you know, during summertime, and ant is like working, like labor and like hard work every day, nope, almost like, you know, carrying food and storage for food. And then when it comes to a time that winter time come, the grasshopper have no nothing, because he been wasting his time and enjoying his life and didn't store up anything and end up dying in the cold winter. And whereas the ant, you know, because they've been working throughout the summer, and in winter time they survived the cold winter. And, you know, this ant and grasshopper's fable, I was looking into the Wikipedia, apparently this is inspired by this proverb, by Proverbs 6 and Proverbs 30. And so here, the author reminded us that, you know, don't look around. Look at the creation of God, how they work, and you can draw wisdom from it. And here is a go to the end. Observe, look at how they live their life. And in terms of the end, it's talk about that. You know, it's their nature. They will store up food and they be organized in such a way. God is an orderly God, and you can see how ants, you know, one after another, they carry food, and one after another, and, you know, store up food. And in that system, you know, look at the intelligence of the ant. It seems that they do not have any leaders. And so here, the author observed the nature and noticed that in the animal kingdom for the ants is that they don't have any leader, they don't have any officer, but they, in the natures, they put the things that is being put in themselves, that they work and they can, you know, live, and they work hard and they store up for the winter. And here that the author reminded us, you know, look at, you know, ants, how they live their life, and remind ourselves. And here the warning is that sometimes is that you're losing ground bit by bit. And let's turn to verse 10. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest. It's talking about, you know, just a little bit of rest, a little bit of, like, not paying attention and, like, you know, tying your hand, not working. But little by little, you're losing your ground. And it comes to a point that you're not saving up what you're supposed to. And it's... And here, the poverty is just come like an armed man, and your need is just not being fulfilled. You can't even, you know, meet your basic necessity of life. And so here, the author, you know, reminded us that, you know, do work hard. You know, work hard in the sense that, you know, you're not doing the extreme, but, you know, putting the God's, you know, the ability, capacity God gave you into a good use, so that, you know, in the winter time comes, so to speak, that you are not starved. And let's turn to, you know, the next part, you know, verse 12 to verse 19. Here is a description of a worthless man and a wicked man. And again, you know, different body part are being used in the whole passage. Let's go to the verse 12 and 19 quickly. It says, a worthless man, a wicked man, is the one who walk with the perverse mouth and wink with his eyes and signal with his feet, who point with his finger, who with the perversity in his heart, and who spreads the strife, you know, so on. And it's talk about, you know, this whole this person, who worthless person, a wicked person, what sort of behavior it would display, or what sort of character this would have. And it's talking about, it's not just this talking dirty or talking about oppressed things, or, you know, obscurity and all this, but it's the whole makeup of a body. You know, last time when we were looking at Proverbs 5, it talked about the wellspring of life that is coming from the heart is affected the whole action or the behavior or the whole body. And it is echoing the same idea. You know, in the book of James, it's talk about that, you know, you have salt water and the fresh water. If it cannot mix together. So what's inside you coming forth out is what reflection of your heart. And here is it basically projecting that, you know, if your heart is wicked, your action, your hand, finger, your facial expression, all this reflected that wickedness that's in you. And although, like, you know, verse 13 didn't say, like, anything about eyes, like description of eyes, it's just wink about eyes, signal of feet. But if we look at, you know, the whole stanza, like verse 12 to 19 together, we go into the next part. It talks about the haughty eyes, the lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood. It's actually, we can read it, the whole passage together. It means that, you know, it's a prideful person. It is a lying, like, person who speaks who lies, and, you know, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that, you know, devise wicked plan, feet that run rapidly to the evil. It's not we are running to the evil. It talks about that, you know, we are just so prone to do evil. And so quickly, it feels like that we're running to us, like to do evil. And so these are the, you know, it's five body parts. And the very interesting, the 16 and 17, it says six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abominations to God, to Him. So six things that God really hates is lying, pridefulness, you know, murder, you know, shedding innocent blood, the heart that, you know, scheming, like wicked plan, and also, you know, those who do evil, and those that who spreads the strife among brothers. So, you know, causing people to quarrel, causing people to, you know, disunity, that's something that God really hates. And one particular card that is also deal with the mouth is the four witnesses. And so you count it all together, it's seven, but at the end, the lying tongues and the false witness is the same one thing. So it's talk about that six thing that God really hates, but, you know, seven of the particular one that God this passage highlight is like when you become a false witness to someone. And so this passage as a whole is saying that, you know, all these three, you know, type, the first type that who are callous people who are giving guarantees, a sluggard who are lazy where he's supposed to work and he's not doing it, like what he's, like the basic thing he's doing, and also we talk about wicked men, and the penalty, you know, verse 15, the punishment is like for the wicked man is the calamity will come suddenly. Instantly he will be broken and there's no healing. It basically is like the punishment from God, the judgment from God is so quick and you can't even prepare and there is no way of return. And if we look at the three different type of people that is speaking here, it's like it's a warning to us, you know, not to be any one of them, and all of them is self-invicted. It means that we all given a choice to do or not do. It's not as if, you know, we are being forced to. And so all these all different three category of, you know, man or behavior here is, you know, we do have the choice and to guard our tongues, to you know, talking about body part is we do have, like, no ordinary man do have control of our body part. And this is a reminder, you know, this morning of the three different kind. And my question to you then, you know, do you fall into any of this category? Or if sometimes it doesn't have to be, you know, so black and white in terms of, you know, especially the second category, sluggers. I mean, you know, when you work hard, you do have to have a break and rest, and that's the rest day that God, you know, commanded us. You work hard for 6 days, and then you rest on the 7th day. So it doesn't mean that you don't rest, but it's talk about that when you're supposed to work hard for 6 days and you don't. And sometimes the dangerous here I want to highlight again is that little sleep, little slumber, little floating of your hand can lead to, you know, really bad consequences. And so this is a reminder to us that, you know, be vigilant. And to put into, you know, New Testament context, so to speak, is, you know, when the Bible reminded us that, you know, the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking to devour, and be vigilant. I think this is also a strong message this morning to remind us to be vigilant, to put into good use what God has given us, like, you know, ability and things, and use, you know, be alert and dissolve things. And so worship. Thank you. Yeah. So let's some time just, you know, like a reflections in the morning. I think that's the thing with the Book of Proverbs, is a lot of wise saying, a lot of advice that is there. And sometimes, you know, we didn't even know, you know, talk about guarantor, you know, all these case laws that we did in the, you know, law school and all this. If they have read the Bible, Proverbs 6, they would not even get into that situation. And so, let God to speak to us. To take this morning, like take this moment, to reflect on the different body parts, like whether there's anything that you know, things that we see that is not pleasing to our God, or attitude like haughty attitudes, lying tongues, he talked about that. The things that we do that is not pleasing to the Lord, let's go before God and just do a introspection of ourselves. Holy Spirit, just come and we can ask up, Lord, you know, a reminder, you know, particularly, you know, in this passage, it's referred to the sleep. A lot of time that we, it's not that we don't sleep, but it's just like we lost the alertness that's in we're supposed to have, God. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that, God, that be that counselor for us, God. More than just comforting, but really a counselor to guide our step, God. You know, especially in, you know, when, you know, we are in a situations that is undesirable situations, God, that we have to be more aware, God, that we just ask Holy Spirit be that calming presence and be the light to us to be stay alert for the things that we miss out, God. To help us to stay focused, you know, on what is important that in your kingdom, God. And to help us to stay awake, to be aware of any traps that's laid to ensnare us, God. You know, could it may it be a financial, you know, things that like a surety that you spoke about in the proverb this morning? Or maybe, you know, it's our attitudes on things that is harmful to our life. So God, continue to speak to us. Holy Spirit, continue to remind us, you know, on the things that we think, we see, we speak, and we do. Be that light for us, God. Thank you, God. Let's turn to today prayer focus. Pray for the community. Pray for those that who suffer from cancer and who are going through chemo on the way of recovery, and also pray for the chunks. You know, brother-in-law still looking for the bone marrow match. They've been on the list for a long time. So let's, you know, really press in and pray that there is a match. Next page, let's pray for those that family members who do not know God. Pray for their salvation and pray for the healing. You probably noticed, you know, those who came here, but that there's a new person on the list is Vivian Lam's grandfather's internal bleeding in the brain and coherence. So this is a new one that for this week. So pray for his salvation as well. He's quite old. Also pray for Tim's mom. She went to hospital again, I think yesterday, 2 days ago. And Tim, a couple of the people from SP went over and prayed for the mothers. And we have a report saying that after we pray, they pray over the mother, that the whole countenance changed. So let's continue to pray for Tim's mom for recovery, for miraculous recovery. And also, you know, pray for the salvations really happening in his family. Next page, for those that suffer from illness, pray for recovery as well. Next, pray for the brothers and sisters who are looking for a job. Let's turn to today's community prayer focus. We pray Friday, we pray for the local outreach ministry, particularly like these are the ministry that is serving the Lord in Hong Kong. YWAM, they also the Red Light District Sons and Daughters, and Face to Face. Continue to pray for Jimmy Stewart for his recovery. His knee is still not fully recovered. Feed the Hungry, Amanda. Christian Solidarium Worldwide. I think Anil have a trip to Bangladesh last week, and pray, you know, things are wrapping up well for him as well. Just about some news for the local churches. I receive some of the Chinese local churches has been visited by, you know, bombarded with by some cults, like local cults called Eastern Lightning, and there's another cult that actually pretend to be Christian and go into their church and try to, you know, share a false word of the Lord among the congregation. And so that's been happening. So let's also pray for, you know, vigilance and, you know, safeguard for the local churches when they deal with, like, you know, false truth coming in and in their own church. So let's pray for those. Let's pray for the mission committees who are Pastor Eugene, Jimmy, John, Sarah, Jisun, Kiwan, and Janella. And also pray for Jamie. He's leading a trip to India. They were told that supposedly they're supposed to minister to 80 kids, and last week they were told that they only serve 300 to 400 kids in India. And so the team is quite small, and so let's pray for the five loaves and two fish, you know, miracle to be happening with the Indian team. And Jamie, particularly, he is the leader. Let's pray for the local outreach ministry, the community center. Pray that, you know, God can lead us to opportunity to be able to serve the community better. Pray for the Igape. The class has started, and the Hong Kong side is starting in October. We're still looking for how churches to partner with us. So pray for, you know, people rising up, you know, to come in and reach out to the community. Pray for the homies, the Red Light District, the prison ministry, and also the new ministry coming up. It's the Mother Choice. So let's pray for all this local ministry within SP. Pray that it will be, you know, living out what God called us to do, to go and make disciples of the nations, to reach out, to love your neighbors. So pray that this is indeed happening in the local outreach ministry. Let's continue to pray for the Hong Kong government. Pray for the wealth gap, the revival of the siege, revival of Hong Kong, and you know, as to be the light to China and also the city on the hill. Let's really pray for the Hong Kong government. There's like news every day about scandals and all this in the high officials. And so if all the officials are gone, who's going to run this Hong Kong in general? So really pray for, you know, God's wisdom be poured on to the Hong Kong people, the voters, and also pour on the officials and the leaders and the chief executive. So that in all the decisions they make, even they are not Christians, it will be on God's way. Let's pray for tonight's event. The IP team is praying for us every Friday night. The college group, the Rivers On this Friday. The three GIC courses on Friday and two on Saturday. The leader, Pastor Eugene, Pastor Hensu, and Haish. And also, PCM is doing two EG class in Hong Kong and one EG high in Singapore. So pray for the EG as well. And also, McCain House Church that's gathering tonight. That really pray for God present and be with, you know, them all throughout all this, you know, event. Dear Lord Jesus, just want to, you know, wrap this up, you know, with a prayer that, you know, God, that open our eyes to see where we're going, because you say the blind will stumble in the dark, and you also mention the Bible, you know, a watchman will be watchman in vain if it's not without you. So God, that we want to be vigilant, you know, in the way that we are walking. We've been talking about, you know, on the way and all this. I pray the Father God that, you know, we will put into good use all the resources that you have blessed us, the ability that you have blessed us, to really to expand your kingdom in many ways, in a creative way and different ways, God. And we just ask that God give us that ability, give us that vigilance, remind us, Holy Spirit, just be constant reminder for us. And even that time that we are a little slumber, a little sleep, or a little folding of our hands, Lord, let that voice be loud to awaken us up, God. You know, just like the song that we were singing this morning, pour out your spirit over us and awaken our soul up. And so we can really tap into that abundanceness that you promised, because you say that when we have you, we have a life of abundance. And really, we need to tap into that fullness of your abundance, God. So be our guiding light, God. Holy Spirit, just pour out your spirit over my brother and sister, Lord. Empower them, you know, and anoint their hands and mouth and feet for the work that they are called to do, God. Thank you, God. such a privilege to serve you, such a privilege to get to know you, to be able to walk in together with you in this journey, God. Thank you for being with us this morning, God, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.